Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Do you love the outdoors? Do you want to help make a difference for the planet? Then get involved in Collectively Rewilding. Collectively Rewilding is a movement to restore degraded ecosystems and reinvigorate sustainable traditions almost lost by working together. It's based on the idea that we can achieve more by working together than we can by working alone. Sharing the skill sets we have built over the years with each other and providing the community support we all need when there is so much work to be done in finding a sustainable future. To join our community here in Collectively Rewilding, go to www.collectivelyrewilding.com. Let's bring nature back into our lives in a community built for the wild in all of us.
I'm Diana from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Ross and myself every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time while we deliver the truth about what's really going on in the world. You don't want to miss our show. See you then.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison, the show about everything and nothing at all.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should join us for Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where I am always hosting. My name is Felicia DeRozier, and I have two amazing co-hosts.
Cross, the favorite. You wish. This is Mariah, the real favorite child.
Oh, sure.
We spend a lot of time learning about the Bible and possibly a little time learning about humility. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah, Mariah.
We air live every Wednesday from 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 10:30. Right now we're going through the book of Romans, but we're going to start moving into the Gospel of John. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to learn about living and walking in the Spirit and learning to be a little humble with those that we live with. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait for you to join us. Right, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Hello, I'm Mike, my birthing partner, and I just got our new Lysenica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysenica Freedom microchip. Since SHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom microchip, I jumped on the Lysenica joint.
This freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting the gene therapy.
These freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart, an employee with insert in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysnica track and trace your every move. You just need a freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysnica Freedom Microchips. They are sweet.
Hello everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on Rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, The Wiretap, The Millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man. On Rumble.com. Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireta. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Well, here we are right back again with you. We got a little song here now that I'd like to do for you, one that put together about a year and a half ago and recorded. And there's a lot of suffering in this song. We hope you never do have to go through nothing like this. We have to do it quite often, though. Here it is. A little thing called I Got the Lovesick Blues.
I got a feeling called the blues. Oh, Lord, since my baby said goodbye. Lord, I don't know how to do. All I do is sat and sigh. Oh, Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Well, Lord, I thought I would cry. She'll do me, she'll do you. She's got that kind of loving. Lord, I love to hear her when she calls me sweet. Daddy, such a beautiful dream. I hate to think it's all over. I've lost my heart, it seems. I've grown so used to you somehow. Lord, I'm nobody's sugar daddy now. And I'm lonesome. I got the lovesick blues. Well, I'm in love with a beautiful gal. That's what's the matter with me. Well, I'm in love with a beautiful gal. But she don't care about me. Lord, I tried and I tried to keep her satisfied. But she just wouldn't stay. So now that she is leaving, this is all I can say. I got a feeling called the blues. Oh, Lord, since my baby said goodbye. Lord, I don't know what to do. All I do is sat and sigh. Oh, Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Well, Lord, I thought I would cry. She'll do me, she'll do you. She's
got that kind of loving. Lord, I love to hear her when she calls me sweet. Daddy's such a beautiful dream. I hate to think it's all over. I've lost my heart, it seems. I've grown so used to you somehow. Lord, I'm nobody's sugar daddy now, and I'm lonesome. I got the lovesick blues.
Friends, right now, here's a word from our good friend again that you folks don't want to listen to.
All right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Thursday, so we will, chemo is out today, so we have the next best thing. We have Leslie here that's going to join us in a second. And if you out there in Radio Land have anything you want to share, the number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number one on your phone. I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. So let's go ahead and bring Leslie in here. Leslie, welcome in.
Yay! Wonderful! Oh my gosh, I've missed this, and I loved the Hank Williams.
I've had that in my queue for a year and a half.
I know. I was looking at his death, and I thought, has it? I was wondering if it had been that long, and it had. And wow, yeah, we've been planning this for a while. So very happy to be back on air. Even if it's just for tonight, it feels good.
So for anybody out there listening, that was Hank Williams Sr. with Homesick Blues. And we are allowed to play it because as of 2022, I believe, that it's out of copyright.
Yeah.
So it's eligible to be played.
Public commons now. So yeah, I mean our journey to discovery about this was an interesting one.
Yeah.
And we vowed to play it. Now, I can't believe it's been that long, but you know it's been a year. It's been a lot of years. It's been some time, and it's just good to feel normal again. Back on air. So, yeah.
So, we haven't had you in a long time. What would you like to start with? Do you have any topics you want to go over?
Well, you know, there's always a lot of topics. You know, did you hear about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yes, I have. I even voted a couple days ago once.
You know, I need to do my vote.
Well, let's do it. We can start with that.
All right. Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pull up rockhall.com.
Yeah.
We usually start with lighter stuff for a few minutes, and then we edge our way into other stuff. So that works. So rockhall.com.
Yes. Yeah.
And for a minute,
I thought Ronpaul.com, and I thought, well, there we go, that too. But yeah, rockhall.com. So I gotta do my fan ballot right now.
And so am I.
Yeah. Ooh. Some really, really good ones in here.
Okay, so I am going to cast my ballot now. I did this on Monday with Christina, but we can do this again.
Yeah,
so,
you can do per day one, pick up to seven once per day through April 6. You can come on here every day. If you're a dedicated follower of someone, then, you know.
Okay. Well, last year I thought it was 5, but I'll keep it at 5. That's fine.
Yeah. Well.
So when you're done, when you're done, let me know.
Okay. Well.
If you want to talk it out, and then I'll discuss some of the options after you tell us who you voted for.
Okay. Pick up to 7 once per day. That's a lot of numbers, but I doubt I.
Okay, well, I'll tell you who I voted for.
Okay.
Although I don't want to influence your vote, though. I want you to vote on your own without me.
You won't. I'm pretty. The ones I like, I'm a solid fan.
Okay. So, I'll go over the options here for everybody. And I just got my email to cast my ballot. So, the options are Kool and the Gang, Lenny Kravitz, A Tribe Called Quest, Peter Frampton, Foreigner, Ozzy Osbourne, and then the exact polar opposite of Ozzy Osbourne, Mariah Carey. Sinead O'Connor, Sade, Oasis, Dave Matthews Band, Eric B. and Rakim, Jane's Addiction, Mary J. Blige, and Cher. So that's who there is to vote for. If you want to vote on rockhall.com and share who you voted for, we would appreciate a call in or two and tell us what you did. But I want Leslie to vote first, and then I'll give my picks after. So talk it out.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at it right here, and I'm going to pass over Mariah Carey because I feel we get enough of her every Christmas season when it's Mariah Christmas every year. And my first vote is for Jane's Addiction. I will never forget getting Ritual De Lo Habitual, which was my first Jane's Addiction.
Last year you were only able to vote for 5. Jane's Addiction was my number 6. And if I was going number 7, I would go with Sade, but I only chose 5.
You know, I actually chose 5 also, and I might throw in, you know, a 6, but, you know, Jane's Addiction is, you know, I remember the song's 3 days. The Dave Navarro killed it with the drums. That song, start to finish, nearly 10 minutes. I remember putting it on the CD, putting the CD in and playing, and I think that song is timeless, and you can feel, it's like you feel it, because it's like going on a journey, but you're just doing it musically. And then I listened to the older Jane's Addiction, and I really felt it resonated. It was a major, when Ritual De Lo Habitual came out, that was something, really describe it, you know, because I became a Pornos for Pyros fan too, which is another Perry Farrell band. But yeah, that was my first pick.
I remember Been Caught Stealing. That was one of my favorite songs for a while.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, hearing that song, you know, that's a good, it's kind of like Creep for Radiohead, you know, it's a good it's a radio song, but when you listen to the rest of the music, I don't know. I like Ben Stealing, and that's what caught me in. Skipping over Sade, skipping over Foreigner, skipping over Eric B. and Rakim, Lenny Kravitz.
Okay.
Big one there. You know, with my middle daughter, Kate, my entire pregnancy. You know, of course, we both have Zoes. So, you know.
You talking about me and you?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I have a daughter named Zoe.
Yeah.
As
so does
Lenny Kravitz.
Yes. And he has his Flowers for Zoe song.
Yes.
And then when I was pregnant with my middle daughter, Kate, all I listened to during that pregnancy, well, I mean, I listened to a lot of Lenny Kravitz. And I remember when we were in the car, she would scream until Let Love Rule came on. There's just something about that song that she would stop crying. And it would make her calm. And so, because he brought peace. And, of course, he said, you know, Five. Who can forget when Five came out? That was, you know, teen and...
I was just going to say that. My mouth opened up to say Black Velveteen, and there you go, taking the words right out of it.
I remember when that came out, and I had that CD, and it was, you know, it was just such an amazing time. And I remember listening to it and playing it in my apartment, and you know, we had at that time, the Deep Ellum scene was going strong in Dallas. And there was a restaurant that was open until 5 a.m. And that was perfect for people that worked service industry and wanted to eat a nice meal. And I remember they had Five on one of their CDs that was on repeat.
Okay.
And there's just something about listening to Five that really brings it home, I guess, is you know.
All right, so tell us about your third choice.
Oasis.
Okay.
Today is going to be the day that you're going to hear the song.
Yeah, Wonderwall, right, yeah.
You know, their musical contributions are fantastic. I used to have their CDs. It's a band that I would probably really get back into if I took the time. And, but they were there for me at a really interesting time in my life. Next, of course, is Ozzy Osbourne. One of my old friends that I grew up with, that I was in a band with when I was in high school, moved back to, you know, back to the Dallas area. And, you know, back to our hometown. And we're getting a band together. And I heard a version of the song War Pigs done by a band from Denmark. Called Hell Song.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Max Sabbath. Have you heard of Max Sabbath?
No, I haven't.
Write that down for yourself. Actually, you know what? I'll find the video, and you could play it later. But if you have not heard Max Sabbath, I don't even want to ruin it. I don't want to tell you what it is.
Well, I know that the way the War Pigs arranged by Hellsong, it's female voice. And it's a cappella at the very beginning. And that's something I am personally working on. It's very acoustic, very vocal heavy. And that song... the words are so brilliant in that song. Strikes me. And of course, you know, I was friends with Vinnie Paul from Pantera for years. And my very favorite Pantera song was actually a cover of an Ozzy song back when he was with Black Sabbath. And have the name of it in my head, but that's my favorite version of it. And that's actually one of my favorite Pantera for songs they performed was a Black Sabbath cover. And I think that their songs are very insightful, and it's easy to get, you know, especially Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne, and it's easy to get lost in the killer guitar riffs and the you know, the music. And he doesn't really have an ear-friendly voice, so he needs all of that. But the songwriting, if you really get inside of songs, they're brilliant. And for an old man that shuffles when he walks, there was a time when he really had a lot going on up there. And I really, his songs have hit pretty hard.
I just can't believe Ozzy Osbourne technically is a one-hit wonder on the Hot 100 charts. He only had one top 40 hit.
Well, you know, he's really not a radio-friendly guy.
Well, he's on the rock charts, of course, but do you know the one top 10 song that he had that was his only hit?
Which one?
Do you know which one? I'll let you guess.
I would say No More Tears.
No. Although that's very surprising. I figured that would have been the one.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll share. What is that? The duet with Lita Ford.
Oh, I remember. Don't close your eyes.
See, I don't want to ruin, I don't want to mix it up with the song by Kix that was called Don't Close Your Eyes.
Don't Close Your Eyes.
Close My Eyes Forever. That's it. Close My Eyes Forever.
Close Your Eyes Forever. That was really, really a good duet. I brilliant songwriter.
All right, so who's your last pick? You chose five. Who's your number five?
My last pick, absolutely Sinead O'Connor. She was before her time. She was ahead of her time. She was talking about the abuses of you know, the Catholic Church before anyone else did. She got banned from Saturday Night Live. She got hatred and she got a lot of criticism, a lot of boycotting against her for speaking up about things people are still learning about today. I admire that. I admire that. And, you know, I used to have The Lion and the Cobra, and I gave that a listen not too long ago. I think that's the name of it. I gave that a listen not too long ago, and it was really powerful.
So let me ask you then. So do you know, out of all those bands up there, which one had the most top 40 hits?
Dave Matthews Band or Foreigner? Or Mariah Carey?
Not Dave Matthews Band, not by a long shot, but Foreigner, yes. So any reason why you left them alone?
You know what? I just don't know their music.
Let's see. Waiting for a Girl Like You, that actually holds a record. It's been 10 weeks at number 2. It's the longest any song has been number two that did not get to number one?
Wow.
It was stuck behind Olivia Newton-John's Physical through the summer of 1981 or 82. I believe 81.
Okay.
It could have been 82.
That was a catchy song.
And then
so,
I Want to Know What Love Is. That was a big number one hit. Urgent was huge.
Mm-hmm.
So. They were my first choice.
You know, I didn't know enough about Foreigner, you know, and I'm over here looking at it, and I think I may go ahead and throw one in for A Tribe Called Quest.
So you're going to do the six or seven?
Yeah, I'm going to do the six. I think I'm going to do A Tribe Called Quest. I like them.
Right. So you're leaving Foreigner out?
Huh?
You're leaving Foreigner out then, I take it?
Well, you know what? I think they've got. I think they've probably got some people to nominate for them.
Okay. Well, I'll give you mine.
Okay.
So, a couple of them I got the same as you. I went with Oasis. I would laugh my brains out if Liam Gallagher and Noel Gallagher show up together to accept their Hall of Fame nomination. They had some hits. Their career wasn't as long as I would like, but that's like a train wreck for me. What they put out was quality. Would they be one of the top 10 best bands in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Probably not. But I think they did just enough, and I want to see what happens at the Hall of Fame with them. So I went with them. I, of course, chose Foreigner. That was my first choice. Just their lengthy amount of hits and the fact that they are actually rock and roll as opposed to other genres, I went ahead and selected them. Because I have to remember, it's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And by the way, A Tribe Called Quest is my favorite rap group of all time, but I left them out. So.
Ah.
I also chose Lenny Kravitz for many of the same reasons everybody else did. Timeless music from the 90s. Now, a couple of the ones that we also differed from, Peter Frampton. Although
he's
mainly known for one album, in my opinion, but he's done a lot more than just that one album that came out in 1976, and I appreciate him. And also when he was on The Simpsons that one time, that was hilarious. My fifth pick, Kool and the Gang.
Cool. Okay.
I appreciate the fact that they're an actual band. So any band that stays around for 25 years and plays their own music and has a bunch of top 40 hits and ones that everybody can remember, I'll go ahead and throw the nomination to.
Okay.
So, if I had to choose six and seven, they would have been Jane's Addiction and Sade. And I like A Tribe Called Quest, like I said, but this time around, they got passed over for me.
Right.
That's where we're at. And I figured Ozzy Osbourne doesn't need my help. What happens is every year the fans vote first, and whoever the fans choose as number one automatically gets in. Everyone else gets to go through a committee.
You know, I see Cher on here. There is a guy on, I need to send you the link to his cover of Believe. His name is Izzy Perry.
No. That song is on my top 10 most hated songs of all time.
Well, let me tell you about Izzy Perry. He sang that song in the way he sings it so soft. So you wouldn't even know it was a Cher song. And it sounds better. Of course, you don't have to do much to sound. I'm not a big Cher fan at all. I really not a fan of her. But there's a. But Izzy Perry is a musician that, you know, when I was just scrolling through Instagram, and I came across his page, and I thought, okay, this is cool. And I'm listening to his music that he's doing with a kind of an 80s vibe, kind of a 80s vibe, a nice, back when it was more goth, back when it was more synth pop, but not really pop, more synthesized music. And I heard his cover, and it's a good song that way. It's definitely worth a listen. He's got a few songs on there. There's an original that resonates with me extremely well. It's called Last Life. And it was born of a comment section about a song he had covered. And so he wrote an entire song about it, and it's really, really good. I certainly need to introduce you to his music. He's definitely worth listening to. And of course, I'm his fan now on Instagram. It sounds like it should have been in the whole Depeche Mode era, the way he sings it. Agree, I don't like the Cher version either. No, thank you. I would not like to share any of that. So what else has been going on? I've been staying out of the news. It's been.
All right. So let me bring this up then, because I know who you're voting for most likely in the 2024 November election. Do you want to share who it is that you're looking at voting for?
Well, you know, ultimately my main thought about it is it's Bread and Circuses. It's a process that ultimately I don't think we get to fully decide. I think that decision is made for us.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, myself included, believe it's rigged. However, they can only rig it if the voting is close. And by close, right. I mean like 15%. If it's a
right.
total landslide, say Trump gets 100 million votes and Brandon gets 38 million, it's too hard to flip. There's not enough
right.
votes to flip. But if it's close, and say Trump gets 80 million votes and Brandon gets 75, then they could do whatever flipperooskies they want, and it's believable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when it was, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, I absolutely don't contest, you know, like I would not contest that because it was such a landslide with that one, you know. It's the really close races that make it difficult. And you're right. I'm a Kennedy fan. I've met him. I've listened to him speak. At times when everybody had to have their phones off, I've definitely, you know, I've flown out to D.C. to hear him speak several times. This is before he became, before he was a presidential candidate. This is when, back when I was in you know, the vaccine transparency, the basically the whole anti-vaccine movement, when I was strongly traveling and active in that. I believe, and I've read quite a few of his books. I've listened to him speak on a lot of different topics. But, you know, he has, I think he has within him, he wants, number one, I sense from him that he wants to make his father, in a way, even though his father is deceased, he wants to live his life in a way that his father would be proud. He wants to carry on his father's legacy and his uncle's legacy. And he understands that he is doing this at great risk to his own life. You know, it's not too hard to figure out that, you know, his uncle's death was an inside job. You know, I'm pretty big on the Kennedy train. I'm a fan of his. I understand who he associates with, and these are people I agree with. These are people I like. I agree with. I support their books. I support their works. I support, you know, what they do, what they have to say. I do know that he, Judy Mikovits, you know, Stephanie Seneff, you know, Children's Health Defense, a couple of the board members are friends of mine. One of them is a very close friend of mine. You know, that I actually, yeah, I believe in his mission. I believe his basis behind what he does is to do the right thing. I really feel that he wants to do right by the American people. He wants to expose corruption. And I'm really big on that.
Well, I can appreciate that, but here's what I run into. So I like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as a person. I think he's done some really solid things. I support his role in speaking up against the vaccine, or as we call it, the gene therapy fraud. I believe he's really strong on two topics. Of course, the gene therapies and the health world, which he's the best candidate running that is on that platform. And he's very anti-war.
Yeah.
Outside of that, he is way too liberal for me. And I respect him, and I think he can do some real good. I think that if he ran for president after Trump was in office and everything was the country was running smooth, I think that would be a decent transition. However, the way that the landscape is right now, I know that the whole world knows what Trump is about. And
yeah,
Trump is going to shut down the World Health Organization again and get us out of NATO. And I know Kennedy might be willing to do that, but we have something that's proven here. And I just feel as though it's just not Kennedy's time. Our economy and our whole dichotomy of the United States is so messed up right now that I don't think Kennedy can fix it. I think Trump can fix it. But I just,
yeah.
For example, Kennedy's policies on climate change and solar, I just don't think we're there right now. Maybe in the future we can transition to solar, but we can't stop drilling oil and have nothing to transition to. When, if you remember a couple years ago when Governor Grusom in California announced that they wanted to stop selling gas-powered cars. And not even a week later, the very next day, he was telling people the electric grid is too messed up. Don't drive. If you have a Tesla or an electric car, don't drive. But at the same time, keep buying EVs. And Kennedy, in my opinion, is not going to say we need to go back to gas. If the economy was better and Trump was there and everything's running smooth, I would not mind some of his policies. But when you come basically on the doorstep of death of the nation, which is where we're at right now, I just can't wholeheartedly say that Kennedy is going to be the person that I trust to bring us back to relevance. So
I can
go ahead and debate
that.
Me. Go ahead and debate me. That's fine. I expect it.
No, actually, I can respect what you have to say. I think that we're in some really difficult times. Everything Trump said has aged well. I'm fearful of having a third candidate because a lot of the people that would have voted for Trump are voting for Kennedy. And this could be a Michael Moore scenario.
But here's another angle that I didn't bring up yet, Leslie. So another major thing for me, and you could call it electability, I suppose, because if it was like I hate both candidates, I would wholeheartedly go into the Robert Kennedy. I think you could do a lot worse than Kennedy. But here's the real scoop. While you know a lot about the gene therapies, and of course you've been with Freedomizer, you know a lot more than the average person on the street.
Yes.
The average person on the south side of Chicago or living in the Harlem Projects or sitting in Compton, they only know two candidates. They know Brandon, and a lot of them feel that Brandon sucks, and they know Trump. So
yeah.
A lot of them, I will say 99% of those people that live in the projects are going to say, screw it, I'm voting for Trump. They're not going to take the time to learn who Kennedy is. He's not on TV enough. Go ahead.
You know what, I think that's a very valid point because, from my understanding, Kennedy's not getting airtime or, he's not getting the debate.
Believe me, they would love to not have Trump get airtime, but they have no choice.
You know, I've had several people tell me, I think Kennedy's dropped out because he's not in the debate. He's not in this. Mm-hmm. And it's such – he has such he's not given any airtime. And why would he be given airtime? He speaks against, the same people that, sponsor.
Believe me, they don't want to give Trump airtime, but it's a double-edged sword for them because they get ratings.
Right.
And I don't think Kennedy can overcome that.
Well, he speaks against the pharmaceutical mafia. And the pharmaceutical mafia is responsible for over 75% of ad revenue on the television. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's anything that anyone wants to take on. No one wants to make their payroll. The companies that bankroll their budget, if the pharmaceutical companies pulled out of any of the networks would go bankrupt.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. They will not let Kennedy have a debate that's sponsored by Pfizer.
No. Boy, that would be funny. I would laugh so hard. That would be the greatest. But yeah, no, that's, you know, that's not happening. So you know, I do think that it, when Trump was president, he kept his words aged well. So I don't have any issue with him becoming president. You know,
I just want to see happen here is, it's not that Kennedy has done anything bad. He's just a liberal that believes the same thing as we do on a few topics. And he's what they call a classic Democrat. And there's nothing wrong with that, except it's just bad timing for him, because it's not his time right now. And I want to give him all the respect that I can, but he's not going to win.
He does consider himself a libertarian, just throwing that out there. He says that he has a lot of risk, that he finds himself more libertarian in viewpoint than Democrat or Republican.
Hey, people can evolve. I'm not going to hate on him for that.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, you know, I can respect a lot of the old school Democratic policies. You know,
That's just what I see, because if you say you're a liberal now, that's like calling yourself communist, and I don't think Kennedy is anywhere close to a communist. Is he a libertarian?
No.
The role of libertarian has kind of morphed over the last generation. But I'm not gonna. If that's what he calls himself, because he's ashamed or he doesn't feel as though he's a Democrat anymore. He's not running as a Democrat right now, so I get that.
Yeah, I mean he's definitely not a Democrat anymore. You know, it's kind of like when Reagan said that, you know, he didn't leave the party left him.
That's exactly,
you know,
yes.
Yeah. That's how I feel. What happened to Kennedy? You know, he didn't leave the party. The party left him.
But I just see a lot of the people that know about the gene therapies and have spoken about them and have educated others about how autism comes out of the MMR gene therapies, and they hear someone that's been a champion of this for at least a decade. And I don't want people to vote for him because he's really strong. He's the strongest on one topic. And I don't want to vote for a one-topic pony necessarily.
That makes sense. That makes all the sense. I know that no matter what. Oh, you know what? It's really interesting because I made this prediction on your show, actually, about how I saw in 2024 that things are going to burn and get really bad until the next solar eclipse in 2024. And that's coming up.
Well,
and,
you said yourself it's going to look extremely bleak, but then things are going to change right before the election. I remember you said that 2 years ago.
Yeah. And look at it right now. Look at the way things are. Look at the way things are going already. You know, people are dying that took the gene therapy.
Right.
We're looking at so many kids with myocarditis right now. It's crazy. It's insane. It's sadistic to look at this. It's cruel. All the children that are dying, all the sports, watching people just die, or all of a sudden people get this cancer immediately and then they're dead. And, you know, their deaths are being blamed on cancer, but hey, that gene therapy causes cancer. I believe they did find some SP40 in there. Sure we are. Things are looking bleak and things are looking bad. We do have, people are now starting to turn the other way. They're not, on some levels, people are, there are less people listening to Bill Gates. There are less people with faith in the CDC.
Well, let me bring up again, Leslie, where I told you that the people on the south side of Chicago, they see all these illegals, and that you see in Harlem with all these illegals are now taking some of the buildings that were community centers for the black communities. And so now you have the black communities that are like, how dare you take our neighborhoods away and have my kids have to learn in school by Zoom sitting in my kitchen so you can give the schools to the illegals.
Right.
People don't want that, rightfully so. So they've woken up a group of people that they counted on. They knew that they had the black community in their back pocket, and they double-crossed them one too many times, and now that community is saying that you're not acceptable.
Right. Right.
So they did too much. They tried to go from 0 to 100 and didn't think anybody would know.
Well, people have noticed. And I do think that, you know, like what you said with the, because I did read about how all these kids are having to learn by Zoom because, you know, because they've allocated the building for the illegal
mm-hmm.
population. And, I mean, that's not winning them any points. They've pretty much lost the party. And I keep trying, you know, I've stayed out of politics as much as I can. I've stayed out of a lot of things, you know. But I have not seen Kamala in the news at all for anything.
Oh, they're trying to rehab her right now. If they can keep her out of the news, she's basically going through a personality training class. And I wish I was kidding. Because they have to prep her to come out of the bullpen to be the 47th president for a little bit. Brandon's at the point where he could barely talk.
So we have second term Reagan going on. Well, you know what, Sid? We had second term Reagan voted in. You know, he was at definitely a second term Reagan level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
They were trying to get Brandon to at least make it to the Democratic National Convention where he could just give his votes to someone else. The only thing is that Brandon still thinks he's running. And you have that, and you combine that with the other half where Michael Robinson Obama is a very nice lady, and Big Mike really has 0% interest in becoming president, and she's told everybody that. And not just on TV, but everybody that knows her says that she's serious. He does not want the job because he did not like being the first man under Barry Satoro and said that it was way too stressful for him. And I can understand that because there's a lot of secrets I'm sure he has that doesn't want to come out. Like I said, he's a very nice lady, and I wish him the best. I just feel... that he's not interested. So
well,
they really
you know,
have to offer a lot to get him to take the job. And I just don't think at the end of the day he's going to take it. So you have Governor Grusom in California that would love the position. But do you know that Kamala and Governor Grusom cannot run on the same ticket? Do you know that?
Oh, that's good. Well, she must be
you know
California.
Why? Yeah, they both live in California, unless Kamala changes her residency officially to Washington, D.C., then they can run together.
Well, she probably will. But that would be a disaster. What's he going to run on?
$800,000 crack loans with homeless people defecating in the streets? That's what I saw when I was there. Oh, 8 months of my life? Yeah, absolutely. I spent that in,
So the latest buzz is that they're also talking about Gretchen Whitmer from the Michigan governor that really made a name for herself during the COVID era in Michigan.
Right.
When she became one of the biggest COVID Nazis in the world.
Right. Well, you know, we know that the shots have failed. They were a massive disaster.
Mm-hmm.
The people that still defend them, listen well, with their heart attack or stroke, I don't know. I have been learning, you know, I have been learning about the thought and ways to reverse it. There are just some people that the more shots they get, the more zombie-like they become, and then they die. And, you know, it's really funny. You remember when, what was it, the CDC, and they were talking about the zombies, the zombie apocalypse or whatever.
Right.
They had their poster. Well, we've got them. Now, you know, how are these people doing on their 67th booster? They're so autoimmune they can barely move. And that,
yeah.
They're having all.
So let me mention. Go ahead. Sorry, I thought you were done.
Well, you know, those that are still listening to their racial mad owl and believing that they were doing right, because there were a lot of good people that were conned into it. A lot of very good people I knew that were conned into it. And felt like they were doing right by society. You know, that whole guilt trip, the get one so you don't bring it home to your kid or whatever. And, you know, my ex, I remember him one day saying something like, well, you know, I was, and I'm pretty sure he got it. Just some things went haywire in me every time I was around him, like just haywire. You know, the whole, I would hate to think I'm giving it to somebody, you know, while I'm well, I could just be passing it on. The likelihood of asymptomatic transmission only happens in the vaccinated population. And there are all those people that have had their vaccines, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I can't get COVID or spread it, and they've got it. In fact, because their negative efficacy after 6 months, they're more of a detriment to themselves and to society. Because they can spread it. They think that they're so immune. They've had their 47th booster, still getting COVID, still getting the boosters, still getting the shots. It defies all logic.
Well, like I've said for the past couple of years, it's loving and liberal, so it's okay.
You know what? I think it shuts down their motherboard, honestly. It really does. You can see the life start to, it's like there are little glimmers of light in their life, you know. It's like little parts of them just disappear. And, you know, for those the ones I love that keep, you know, that will get boosters and keep getting boosters, I just, every day I cherish the day with them because I'm fearful of the future of what will happen, you know. Yeah. So it's scary. Now I did read a paper about methylene blue, which is something that has been used on with the children in the autism community for a long time. It's been used in the cancer community. But methylene blue, let me find this paper about how it dissolves the mRNA. It just dissolves it. Let me see if I can find that. I may have to look for a while for that.
Okay.
Now, methylene, you know what? In 2022, in the Journal of Drug Delivery and Therapeutics, there was rational use of methylene blue in COVID-19 treatment. Just really quick. Methylene blue has a virucidal effect. It acts by interacting between the coronavirus spike protein and the ACE2 receptor. It prevents the maturation and inhibits the replication and the translation of the virus through interaction with RNA.
Okay.
I have some methylene blue here, but I just haven't taken it. You're not supposed to take it with SSRIs. The antidepressants, the SSRIs or SNRIs, tricyclic antidepressants, or anyone with the G6PD deficiency. It is contraindicated in pregnancy as it can cause fetal death. However, there is a treatment regimen using of methylene blue for, it can be used for the COVID. It could definitely be used for long COVID symptoms. Just thought that was interesting. Really interesting articles about that. If anyone wants to go down the methylene blue and COVID rabbit hole, there's a good, just from what I'm looking at it, I can see a good 2 or 3 or 20 day deep dive, depending on your hyper focus. And that's where I'm at. I could really hyper focus on this for a while. The ivermectin is also being used in long COVID and in to help removing the post shot protocol, because there's a lot of people that are getting the shots and then they have symptoms that are like long COVID. You know, as someone that had the hypoxic COVID, my blood oxygen level hit 75 at home, and I treated at home with the hydroxychloroquine, is that what it's called, though? Anyway, I treated it myself, and I can't remember the name of the pills offhand. Saying wrong. Anyway, I'm trying to...
Hydroxychloroquine?
Yeah, that one. So, for some reason, that just didn't sound right in my head, but... yeah, the hydroxychloroquine and the azithromycin, you know, I used that, and it worked well. And then I used ivermectin, the non-human ivermectin that smells like apples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I rubbed that on my arm because even after I used the hydroxychloroquine, I was unable to obtain a stable blood oxygen level. You know, it'd be 90, and then a few minutes later it'd be, you know, 95, it's 98, and it kept waffling around between 90 and 99. And one night I just said, you know what, the heck with this, because I was going to do another round of the treatment. And I said, you know, to heck with this, I will some ivermectin on myself. And I did, and I dosed it for about 100 pounds more than what I am. And now this is what I did. I'm not telling anyone else to do it, and because I do have Lyme disease, and it is part of what I use in my Lyme disease treatment. I used that, and my blood oxygen levels just went straight up. Now, I learned this a little bit later on, but when your blood oxygen level hits below 90, it opens your blood-brain barrier. And so I'm thinking about this long COVID thing and people that have struggled since either getting the gene therapy or, you know, had the hypoxic strain. Because a lot of the gene therapies are making people hypoxic. When your blood-brain barrier is compromised, that allows for spike proteins to cross into the blood-brain barrier. And I absolutely believe that's what causes the long COVID symptoms, the physical symptoms, the mental symptoms, the brain fog. You know, that's something, that's one of the many things I'm addressing right now as I'm in Lyme treatment.
You haven't watched The Broccoli Man in a while. It's almost the halfway mark of the show, so we'll get to this right now.
Okay.
Yeah, let me send you one link, and then we'll, if you haven't been here in a while, we'll play a second one that I'll pick from.
Okay.
Since you, I know the wiretap is your favorite, so we'll have to find you a wiretap. So when you're ready, let me know and we'll count down.
Okay. All right. Let me see if they're going to do an ad, and they are.
The flab almost overnight. So if you're struggling to lose weight, I'm going to tell you a secret that the weight loss.
Skip ad and.
If you have tooth and gum decay, bleeding gum.
Oh, boy. Ad. Okay.
So this one is with liberal person. This one is called Doing What It Takes. So I'm going to just leave it there. We'll watch it. All the videos can be found on rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man. I hope you do subscribe to us. Until, let's count it down. So action.
Another day here saving kids from illegals doing some child trafficking.
Some illegals shot at police in New York City. They arrested the guy that shot the cop. Then an hour later they let him out of jail with no charges. Then they try to gaslight us and say that it is all because of we are racist. In what country is it okay for someone to shoot at the police and they are not supposed to get arrested? This president is too much of a globalist to close the border. Many people say he is getting paid by the drug cartels to not do anything. Now they are trying to say it is climate change is the number one reason why they are coming in here now at about 500,000 people a month. Brandon thinks he can also blame Trump for the illegals coming here by 20,000 a day for the past 2 years. Did Brandon forget he was supposed to be the president?
Hey broccoli person, I hate you so much. You are such racist for saying that Brandon is not securing the border. The border is the most secure American border in American history. It's just that you Trump-supporting racists do not want to give Brandon any credit.
In the history of America, we never had over 20,000 illegals in a day come into our country every single day. We give them all $5,000 in prepaid Visa gift cards so they can have spending money. Some people even admit to going across the border 2 to 5 times a month just to get the free money we the USA taxpayer is giving them.
That is their right to get that money. It is not their fault that they do not have a job. It is the Trump supporters' faults why they are not having jobs.
Really? Did we tell them all to come up here?
Yes, it is Trump's fault, and you Trump supporters. That is why all the illegals have on shirts that say let me in Brandon.
What about in San Diego where in just 1 week, criminals from 73 different countries were found crossing the border? That includes people on the top terror watch lists.
You know who was the biggest problems on the terror watch lists? Something duck hairs like you who believe in God have guns and do not let anyone have abortions after the babies are born. You MAGA Republicans are too extreme.
This I want to hear. So people that believe in God and do not kill people or commit any crimes, are bigger terror threats than people on terror watch lists and actually do kill people?
Yes, because your rhetoric causes more suicides than anyone else. Every 45 seconds, a trans person across the world commits suicide because they are depressed over having people that support Trump in our population. I am a trans vegan that hate MAGA extreme Republicans and supports the current thing.
If you are depressed because people do not think exactly like you, that is completely your choice. Liberals like yourself need to learn how to stop playing the victim card whenever the opportunity comes up. You look like LeBron James when he flops when someone brushes by him trying to pick up some free throw shots.
You are only saying that because you speak English and are too cisgendered. Only fools do not vote Democrat.
You don't care about policies? Because nothing Brandon is doing for our country helps Americans.
I do not care about policies. I am a communist that believes we should all eat Z-bugs and owns nothing. I hate every single thing that America stands for.
If you hate America so much, then why do you still live there?
Bruh.
You are legally allowed to pack up your ish and go move to Cuba. Why are you still here? Do you need help packing your U-Haul?
That is none of your business. I can live anywhere I want. You are here ruining my lifestyle by voting Republican. Maybe you should be the one moving to Russia.
That is very laughable, considering that I never said anything bad about this country. You constantly complain about the United States and love communism. So, instead of forcing most of the population to believe and live the life you want, why don't you move to a country that loves when people stand in line for bread and is not allowed to complain about the government running your every move?
If Trump is president again, we will have a fascist president. He will not force anyone to wear scams on their face. He will not force everyone to get gene therapies. He will not let me use the ladies' restroom and will not allow us to have abortions after the baby is born. That is way too extreme and infringes on our rights.
Well, if you were born a man, you should be using the men's restroom.
Where does it say that?
It says it in big letters with a picture on the door.
Huh?
That was genderist. You need to quit being a transphobe.
The truth hurts. And I am not apologizing. You need to quit being a truthphobe.
You are just upset because we are trying to arrest Trump so he cannot cheat and win the election.
Oh wow, that is what you call it? Okay, then maybe you are right. How about we go to paper ballots and a cut-off time so no secret voters or ballot dumps at 3 in the morning happen? Because in the 2020 election, remember that every single game for votes was for the Democrat Party? Like the fake plumbing leak in Georgia? Or the Michigan Democrat Party kicking out Republican ballot counters from counting votes?
That was fair and square. Otherwise they would have counted Republican votes and Trump would win.
Or the postal worker that was caught crossing state lines with many thousands of mailed ballots all printed off with no postal stamp date and were not folded. They were just all printed and copied like from a Xerox printer. No other election question they voted for. Just Brandon.
I will do whatever it takes to make sure Brandon gets elected again. It is too extreme that Trump will not let me show my junk to the children. I need to read books like Debbie Does Dallas to the 5-year-olds. We also need to free Palestine so we can read these books to the poor Islamic people that are not allowed to be gay or trans. Gay people over there get killed. That is why Brandon needs to support them.
Hey everyone. Please do not fall for what these globalists are trying to do to kill off America. They want a one-world government. That is why they are bringing in millions of illegals into the United States at any cost. We need to reject this and bring back the America we know and love. Do not let them shut down America and force you to get a microchip to get your monthly food stipend and universal basic income. Check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. Proof has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and all the news you need to be informed about. Check out the other shows on freedomizerradio.com also. Just look for the schedule.
Gag. I would never listen to Proof Negative. He does not believe in the right that we have a right to sleep on the sidewalk on crap on the street. That is too extreme. It should be illegal to share any news that the real news stations on TV do not give us.
All right, so you haven't watched an episode in a while. I hope it was all right.
It was. I missed this. Just throwing that out there. I missed this. This feels so... I missed being your co-host.
Well, Broccoli Man's been doing it a long time, so he hasn't stopped.
Yeah, he has.
All right, let me see what I want to show you here.
I saw the sandwich advertisement that you sent me. I just saw what you sent me.
I'm trying to play one that I haven't played in a little while. Let me play this one, maybe. Once I watch them, I don't go back and binge watch them or anything, so I'm trying to remember some of these. All right, so let me give you this one here. It's called... it's the wiretap wants more crime.
Yes.
So when you're ready, I'll go ahead and get it going here for you.
I am skipping ads. I'm on my iPad, so okay. Here we go.
You ready? Okay.
Yes.
All right, so I'll count down. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Hold it right there, green dude. You do not have globalists' authority to remove crime from these mean streets, sir. We need maximum crime out here on is something that cur.
Yeah, that will not happen on my watch.
Yeah, that will happen on my watch. You need to allow maximum crime up in here so we can act like Captain Save-A-Ho, and then all the dolts and fuss budgets will beg for communism to restore order. And communism we will bring in. We are prepared to remove the 99% from this earth and bring our AI systems in here to replace you fools.
People are waking up to your plans to destroy the earth.
Green dude, why don't you get it, sir? These fools do not care. Look at how terrible Brandon has made the living conditions in America. If everyone lists their houses and cars and they had to stand in line for 12 hours for a slice of bread, they will still vote for Brandon. Wait until we run Michael Robinson or Obama out that is his president. Even though Barry Sotra runs the Brandon regime, they will be more excited than a pig in slop to vote for Big Mike. Everyone knows Michael Robinson or Obama is a very nice lady. Everyone will be so mesmerized by Big Mike she can defeat any other candidate. We can slam our entire communist agenda down all your stroats and everyone will eat it up like it is McGMO French fries.
Well, I do not eat that GMO mess.
Don't worry, sir. You will eat all the lab-grown sow meats and impossible stuffs. You will eat as bugs. You will earn as nothing. You will live in a 150-square-foot tiny home and will only come out when we authorize you. By the way, you must always have on a bloody scam on that face every single time you are in my presence from now until the end of time.
Never. Make me.
Usa. That was the wrong choice of words, says Green Dude. Just for that unnecessary outburst, I am going to need to inspect your junk. Please prepare to present your ice cream cone and your kumquats right this instant. I'm so tired of you stepping in it.
I do not listen to globalist puppets.
That is it, Green Dude. I am going to need less sass. More ass. Have I made myself clear, sir? I need less sass, more ass. I need to take a photograph of your junk and bring it to Glamour Shots right away. We need to make sure this is on file at TSI.
I am going to ignore that because you are on the wrong side of history.
You will be listening because I am on the right side of history. We can control your everyday lives. You are just a 99% dolt.
Everyone knows by now that Brandon and Hunter committed crimes in the Ukraine.
You know what, sir? No one bloody cares. Besides, every time Brandon or Hunter is investigated, we just give Trump more indictments so he can spend more time in jail slash. We already rigged all the courts with George Soros-backed judges and district attorneys. We also control the media so no one watching fake news will know anything at all about Hunter's and Brandon's crimes.
But Brandon created a pay-to-play scheme with Hunter with Burisma in the Ukraine.
Who cares, green dude? We created 17 more indictments in heavy Democrat-influenced cities. We will force the courts to take this case and make sure that something occurred before Brandon and Hunter could make it to court. Besides, green dude, we control the media. Right now Trump so far can spend 722 years in prison so he can never run for office ever again.
And what does this even solve?
You are sure are a dumb son of a biasnitch. Once we arrest Trump forever, we can arrest all of his Trump supporters and place them in FEMA camps. Even though FEMA camps do not exist.
Everyone knows about the FEMA camps by now.
Is that so, Green Dude? If that is the case, we will have to start rounding them up right away and put them in FEMA camps. There is no such thing as FEMA camps. How did you find out about the FEMA camps, sir? We bees finna start rounding up people who know that Barry Sotra is gay. Why else do you think Sbe killed his personal chef on that kayak, sir? As globalists play for keeps here, sir.
Please. Do your part to stop these globalists. If you bury your head in the sand like an ostrich, then they will win. Please learn about what they are doing to you. Please check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. You can check it out by going to freedomizerradio.com and press listen live. He has all the news you need to be aware of. With great guests and excellent co-hosts. Please check out Proof on freedomizerradio.com.
Tell me, what is the color of love? What do you see? Is it warm? Is it tender when you think of me? I see the color of love when I'm thinking of you. As a picture-perfect painting of a love forever true?
I don't, Bell. Eve, we have to put up with this.
Don't worry, Green Dude. Everyone in the 99% will put up with it. Wait until we ban you something that cares from wearing clothing. We will require exposed kumquats for all.
All right, so that's that was your buddy there.
Kumquat. Oh my god. Yes. Oh, and that was oh my goodness, the reference about a photo of his junk, I think it's glamour shot.
What about it?
Oh, was that in a song? Or was that just funny?
Are you talking about the last thing that the wiretap said? It was from a song.
Okay, I thought
that
so.
That was Billy Ocean's The Color of Love.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that was hilarious. Funny, I like that.
All right.
Very nice.
You guys, I have to show you the millennials and then we'll move on to other stuff here.
Okay.
So last one.
Okay.
So when you're ready.
Okay. I am almost ready. I am skipping this ad. Okay.
And this one is called Can't Drag in Gaza.
Okay.
And, of course, this is the millennials. All right, so we'll count down one last one tonight. So 3, 2, 1, action.
So, Jamar, what happened in your lawsuit?
Yeah, I heard you got rich.
Sobe, the judge awarded me $100,000 for every heart attack I had. He said that Southern Hampshire Institute and Technology has to let me back on campus. Then this morning, SHIT said they don't care what the judge says. They ain't letting me take classes here unless I catch up on the gene therapies.
I agree with SHIT. It's more important to be as liberal than to listen to a judge. I wish that judge would go to a FEMA camp. It's too bad FEMA camps do not exist.
The judge also said if there is a war, I am exempt from a draft due to my medical condition.
You know what really sucks, Jamar?
Brandon said that trans women born with junk still have to get drafted in World War III. Part of being a trans outlaw should be that we are not dudes. We should not have to go to war. I only want to go to war if it means we can go kill Republicans. We want to support Hamas and Palestine. Why should we have to fight them?
That's right. We went to a protest yesterday. We demand one-way tickets to the Gaza Strip so they can see us do drag queen story time to all the Islam people. They laughed at us. They said we will get one-way ticket but we cannot dress as women when we get there.
That is so not fair. They have no right to tell me what to wear. I do what I want in whatever gender I is.
When we get there and support Palestine and Hamas, I am sure they will let us be as trans over there. We can show them our Ukraine flags and they will be as impressed that we do not support America.
Yeah, we are loving and liberal.
Oh no, it's that broccoli dude again. That dude hates communism so much. He is nothing but trash.
I want to punch him in them's bull sack. I wonder what racist ish he will say this time.
Hey Jamar. I heard the judge said you are allowed back on campus.
That's right, player. But the school still said they don't care what the judge says. The school called me a Trump supporter because everyone is telling me to not get any gene therapies or else my health insurance and my life insurance will cancel me. SHIT told me to quit being a crybaby and stop watching Joe Rogan. I'm like, dude, I already had 69 heart attacks and died and came back to life 19 times. The dean at SHIT said he does not give an expletive if it's my birthday and Michael Robinson Obama demanded I sit in class. He says no koozies now, boss.
Michael Robinson Obama is a nice lady.
What kind of liberal is you if he don't obey government? You should just get your gene therapies and quit abusing a Republican by his niche.
Yeah, even Brandon says if you do not support him, you ain't black. He needs to be black like us.
Dude, do you know we can all see you? You have white skin just like Larry Bird.
You shut up that face right now and put a scam on your face. When I go in the hood, everyone there knows I'm black because I remember how to vote Democrat.
I hope SHIT lets us go to the Gaza Strip and perform drag queen shows over there. I cough if I read the gender queer book to the Islam peoples. They will love us for liberating them.
We will teach all those something but cares that they can be as whatever gender they want. They can dress in women's clothes just like us and fight Republicans.
Do you not understand that their religion demands those who do not live like them will be punished by stoning or death?
I just don't see the point in fighting a war. We are all just regular people who do not want to die because the government said to.
You're crazy, Jamar. We need to re-educate or euthanize people that do not agree with us. We are loving and liberal.
Jamar is right. We need to stop hating on everyone for being different. We need to celebrate diversity and not have a world full of only one way of thinking.
You need to stop being an artsy. Only artsies want to have diversity.
That's right. Give me communism or give me death.
Me too. I just want to blast Trump supporters and their kumquats. I don't want to fight Chinese peoples, North Korea peoples, or Iran peoples. We believe in the same things.
That's why we need a one-world government. If we had a new world order, then everyone would be under hardcore communism. Then no one could cry about their freedom. Everyone would be forced to do drag queen story time and show their junks to the kids.
Yeah, the whole world would be as loving and liberal.
And we can make everyone who is not black get re-educated and buy off. You need to level people or you visas finna be dead.
Hey player. Don't you hear yourself? How can you love our people and then kill everyone who does not have black skin? And you are not even black. You don't make sense.
He needs to shut up that face right now and learn how to be as black like us.
Yeah, I even saw that one person who finished 172nd in a world race while running as a dude. He decided he was to run some bad rap with the ladies and finished 5th. Good on her for making the right decision to run as a trans.
Did you see the Prime Minister of Scotland? Dude went off on white peoples. He said he is Islamic and is pissed that Scotland is almost every major person in politics and white. Good on them demanding diversity.
You do realize that Scotland is about 98% white, right? Only just over 2% of the population is something other than having white skin.
I should go over there and run for office. I will teach them what it's like to be as black.
How you finna do that, dog? Your skin is white.
You take that back right now. Quit spreading misinformation that I'm white. Also, we no longer have to take math classes at SHIT because math is racist.
For a dude who is about to get a college degree, you sound really no educated, B.
He needs to come with us and take down the flies of peoples trying to find their lost Jewish friends. These parents should have had abortions so they would not have to look for their kids. I can't wait for Malik to get me pregnant so I can have an abortion right after I give birth.
Come on, Mike. We need to go downtown and protest for those free one-way tickets to the Gaza Strip so we can volunteer to do drag shows for the Gaza and Palestine kids.
Hey everyone. Please educate the youth. You also need to follow the news. Check out the Proof Negative radio show. Proof is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof has on lots of great guests, excellent co-hosts, and all the news you need to know about. Prepare yourself against the new world order. Go to freedomizerradio.com and look for Listen Live. Also, look for the Freedomizer show schedule and find all the other hosts' time slots on freedomizerradio.com.
Broccoli dude, you need to shut up that face. Ain't no one trying to get educated about news. Anyone who follows Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, or Proof Negative needs to be labeled a Nazi supporter for loving all people. All of us Democrat voters are loving and liberal. We only love the right people who support Democrat politics.
You mean we support the left side?
He needs to be as black like us and support one world government or he needs to go away. We are non-Democrats because we are loving and liberal.
Alright, so that was the last episode we're getting into tonight.
Wow.
What?
These kids, they'll never graduate. I guess
no.
They have to keep taking time off because of the gene therapies and their many heart attacks.
Yeah.
Oh, that was it.
Oh.
Just an observation. No. Yeah, just an observation.
So today, The Atlantic magazine, which is owned by Mrs. Steven Jobs, says right now Democrats have to replace Brandon, that he's no longer viable.
Wow. Wow.
Finally at that point.
But we know that. We knew that. I knew that. He's been past his prime since before.
I take it, though, that you don't get those warm and fuzzies that he's going to win re-election this time around.
No. You know what? I haven't thought about it. I honestly haven't.
Okay.
I haven't done any serious predictions lately.
Okay.
I believe I may do that this fall.
Okay.
You know, I knew that he and I saw him and Kamala the day of the election. I saw them holding hands and under the balloons. Of course, I think I messaged you or called you and told you about that. Or I don't know if I did, but I do know that I sent that message out to you. I had a feeling that was going to happen. You know, I haven't sat down and really...
Well, I'm hoping to get that from you.
I kind of feel... Okay, so now that I'm thinking, I'm visualizing Kamala and I'm visualizing Joe, I'm kind of getting a feeling of, you know, in the movie with Ben Stiller, where he's the model, Blue Steel, with his look, where... He went into like a tanning booth or something, and the kind of like the MK Ultra program, Like you said, I think maybe they're reprogramming Kamala. They're trying to train her because they want to make her look as presentable as possible. But I think the joy about her has already been lost. I think they've lost their time to do so. I don't think he is viable at all. And I don't know who all is looking to replace him.
Well, they can't put Grissom in his place because, remember, it's a DEI hire with diversity and equity, so they need Kamala unless they have somebody black.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to need a few minutes here. I have a Russell Brand clip that's like 20 minutes that I want to play. And I feel it's in your wheelhouse because it's in regarding to the excess deaths that are exploding. So I figured you might appreciate this with the gene therapies.
Absolutely, I do. Absolutely. I do listen to him from time to time. It's just been kind of my way of staying in on things.
Okay. So I'll get into him right now here. So have at it.
Since February 2020, there have been 100,000 excess cardiovascular deaths. That's weird. It's almost like something's causing people to have heart conditions that kill them. Since around February 2020, it certainly shot up. What could it be? And is it in any way connected to questions that are not properly answered in Parliament, Moderna's investment in surveillance, and a refusal to properly inquire into the consequences of COVID and the pandemic response? Hello there, you awakening wonders. Thanks for joining us on our voyage to truth and freedom. As the world seems more beset by deception, we have to double down on truth. We have to join one another shoulder to shoulder in opposition against true globalism and establishment authoritarianism. If you want to support our movement, please, you can join us because we do additional videos every single week. We do question and answer sessions with brilliant journalists, and we are interested in building a community together based on real values. Spiritual values, the values of your grandparents, the values of your soul. Today, though, we're looking at pandemic corruption and its consequences. Our Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, you will already know, is a globalist, Davos-trained, WEF-connected investor in Moderna. In fact, was a founder of a hedge fund that was crucial in the establishment of Moderna in the pre-pandemic era, and he won't tell us the degree to which he has profited from that endeavor. You know that Moderna spied on me. You know that Moderna was spying on Megyn Kelly. You know that Moderna have received an incredible amount of money and an incredible amount of employees from the government. The money was yours, the employees, that's all governmental. Let's have a look at this peculiar phenomena of increased deaths from heart disease, which is the sort of thing you would want explored in the COVID inquiry. The COVID inquiry in this country seems to have been suspended, and many of the COVID inquiries across the world seem to get a little bit delicate when it comes to saying, hey, are more people dying than you would expect at the moment? Are people getting injuries potentially from medications recommended during the pandemic period? These are the kind of things we can discuss at depth and in clarity in our stream every day, and certainly if you become a member of our community. Today we'll be looking at some data from the British Heart Foundation, which is just a straight up organization interested in heart disease. They've got no axe to grind. This research is just saying, look, since 2020 February, there's been 100,000 excess deaths based on what we would anticipate from cardiovascular conditions. What's going on? Well, I think we have an idea what's going on. I think medical professionals have an idea what's going on. Let's listen to some medical professionals now before learning a bit more about Moderna's practices and Rishi Sunak's connections to Moderna.
Why is no one talking about the excess deaths in the UK? I've been a registered nurse for 9 years.
Hooray, nurses! Yeah, support the key workers, support the what are you saying? What? You're asking questions. Boo! Sack them, what? You won't take the jab? Boo, nurses! Boo, nurses! Sorry, do we like nurses and respect nurses, or do we not? I'm going to go with we like nurses and we respect nurses. They are dedicated professionals that put themselves where suffering is taking place. Between suffering and pain and our loved ones, you will find nurses. So let's take them seriously, right? Unless it suddenly becomes inconvenient to the interest of the powerful to take nurses seriously.
And I can't even begin to tell you what I'm seeing. Excess deaths are predicted to be up around 13%. Surely this is a humanitarian crisis. It should be printed on every single newspaper and billboard in this country. But everyone's just carrying on like nothing's happening.
So weird, isn't it? This is weird. This is insane. We're becoming oddly, peculiarly, inoculated to truth. There's this phenomenal thing happening and we're all kind of just ignoring it. When in our parliament, the MP Andrew Bridgen, who's coming on our show, asked our Prime Minister Minister, former Moderna investor, and WEF stooge Rishi Sunak, hey, are you worried about the efficacy and safety of the vaccines given new data? The rest of the parliamentarians, that's the equivalent of Congress, they're like, boo, boo, this is Parliament. This is not a place for debating political issues. This is a place for simply presenting the agenda of the powerful. The opposition politicians don't go, yeah, look at this study and that study and this study and come on. They just go, no, let's shut this down. We don't have democracy. We don't have debate. We have beautifully ornamented dictatorships.
What I'm seeing is so concerning, and you deserve to know. Funeral homes are even having to get extra storage to store all the deceased bodies. People are waiting weeks to even just register the death of their loved one. Because there's such a backlog, well, one person who is talking about it is Andrew Bridgen. Last week, he held a debate in Parliament to discuss the excess UK deaths. The data published shows that the increase in death isn't in our elderly population. It's actually in the 50 to 65 year old age group. And the biggest surge in excess deaths is caused by heart and circulatory problems. We're just seeing so much more heart failure, cardiac arrests in young people, multiple blood clots on the lungs, and clots in the blood.
So weird. Heart diseases, clots in the blood. I don't know, I just, through the opaque mists, almost like I'm wearing some Apple goggles to augment my reality. There are stories about AstraZeneca, stories about Johnson & Johnson, stories about clots. What is it? If only we could piece it together. We need some sort of Sherlock Holmes figure to put together the information.
So the biggest question is, why is this happening? Guys, our country is falling to ill health. People are both sick and dying. We need to stop talking about this.
Of course, what's curious, and as we've often said on this channel, who is going to fund research into areas of study that might not be profitable? I.e., are Pfizer or Moderna going to go, let's invest loads of money in academia for research and studies that doesn't make any money. Let's pay for loads of advertising that takes control of media that doesn't lead to future profits. It's so plain and obvious that what we're witnessing is the curation and control of information. Do you remember at the beginning of this, there was clearly an effort to amplify and emphasize the number of deaths from COVID when people that died from other reasons, if they had COVID, were recorded as a COVID death. Now in this post period, the opposite is happening. We're seeing extraordinary excess deaths. It's just being masked, veiled, forgotten, marginalized, sidelined. You see that there isn't a solid and static objective reality. There are amplified versions of reality or de-amplified versions of reality, and we're presented with versions of reality that I would say keep us compliant or at least prevent us from becoming obstinate. Now, for our friend Dr. John Campbell, a reliable physician and analyst.
So early heart disease deaths rise to 14-year high, quite alarming in younger demographics as well. Over 100,000 excess deaths involving cardiovascular conditions in England since February 2020.
And now a word from our sponsors. Look at this glorious apple. Why, it's like the fruit of Eden. Indeed, it is the fruit of Eden. You can see why Snow White would be tempted by this glorious piece of fruit. On the other hand, the lowly banana, decaying slowly, rotting before our eyes. The reason for that is apple stem cells, a technology that was utilized by Swiss scientists in a glorious experiment that showed that apple stem cells are effective in improving human beauty. Now, our sponsor today, Charlize, uses a toner that deploys apple stem cells to rejuvenate your skin. Ah. Oh. In much the same way, I mean, that's just actually glorious. I feel better already. Not only does it make your skin feel better, it's boosting me with serotonin. If I was a little less responsible, I'd be drinking this because you could drink it. You shouldn't drink it, but you could drink it because it's completely toxic-free. It fights the signs of aging using these apple stem cells. Just one spray, it blasts your whole face, you'll look and feel magnificent. Me and my wife are using this together, our marriage is improving. Yes, our skin's looking great, I hope you'll agree. And the serotonin is sending us through the roof. Many of Charlize's products smell beautiful, they're all natural, they're completely toxic free. The orange citrus essence perfume is fantastic. There's a link in the description that will allow you to get 25% off by going to charlize.beauty and using the promo code brand. It's a simple choice really. This glorious apple or this droopy old soppy banana. That's charlize.beauty promo code brand. Me and the family are using it and we've nearly felt better. Let's get back to the story.
Now this is 100,000 people that have died of cardiovascular disease that we wouldn't expect to die. And that's just of cardiovascular disease. 100,000.
Do you remember during the pandemic, there was a ticker tape? If you were trying to watch football, well, you couldn't watch football because it was cancelled. Like, it was all the time, right? Another person's died. And if someone hadn't taken a vaccine or whatever, oh, this person, see, look, they've done this social media post about not vaccinating, and now they've tragically died. 100,000 people. That is such a large, significant number just within one area of health. Cardiovascular conditions. Is it in the Guardian? Is it in the New York Times? Is it on MSNBC, BBC, CNN? Is it? You can use that information. You can ask that question for yourself. Oh yeah, they did a little bit or they didn't at all. And why? Why at a time when we're discussing misinformation, malinformation, when Moderna are paying money to surveil dissidents like myself and Megyn Kelly, when there are all sorts of government-funded agencies that are shutting down dissenting voices, why is this bit of information being ignored? Why, when it comes up in British Parliament, is the response to it disdain and dismissal? Why is Rand Paul essentially having to turn into some sort of cop investigating information that should be available for anyone when trying to talk about Anthony Fauci and his record and the funding of EcoHealth Alliance, the funding of DARPA, whether or not there was dual-purpose research going on in the Wuhan Institute of Virology? How is it that I, the bloke out of Sarah Marshall, know all this stuff? Because we've had to. We've had to learn this stuff in order to be in this organisation, in order to participate in this conversation, because the reliable news sources are anything but. Science has become a subsidiary of profiteering. Government has become essentially interested in control, and no one's interested in authenticity and truth, except, thankfully, us.
Heart and circulatory disease cause around a quarter in all deaths in England, 140,000 deaths each year, or one in four deaths. So cardiovascular disease, quarter of deaths, but increasing, and increasing in proportion. Healthcare costs relating to heart and circulatory disease, £8.3 billion each year.
What a waste of money. Think how long we could prolong the Ukraine-Russia conflict with that money.
Cost to the wider economy of cardiovascular disease, including premature death, disability, and informal costs, $22 billion each year.
Makes you sick, doesn't it? Think how many Houthis you could kill with $22 billion. Oh, there's a Houthi over there! Ah!
Now, if governments aren't motivated by sheer love of their people, you'd think they'd be motivated by hard cash, because this is costing us a fortune.
Good question, actually, because it shows that it's not just economics and finance. It really is about power and control and where that money goes. You can waste money in these ways. You know, when people talk about investing in schools or roads or health, we can't afford that, $5 billion for schools. Those people are leeches on the system. $22 billion lost in the economy due to sickness and illness. Well, that's apparently a loss that we can accommodate. Same as all of this money can be spent on prolonging wars that are, let's just take a moment, unwinnable. So it's not even economics we're talking about now. That makes it more likely that there is something extraordinary at the heart of this. And I hope that heart's safe, because if it's taken certain medications, it may not be.
Basically, we've got an epidemic of heart disease. I don't think that's overstating the situation. Since 2020, the premature death rate for cardiovascular disease has risen year on year. So 2021 was higher, 22 was higher, 2023 was higher. 2024, of course, we don't yet know. This is the first time there's been a clear reversal in the trends for almost 60 years.
So there's been an extraordinary reversal in a trend for the first time in almost a century. Everything was going this way, then something happened that made it go that way. What was that thing? It's like there's a spike that needs to be identified, like the spike of a needle or the spike of a protein, if you wanted an analogy by which to understand it. But that's just a metaphor, you understand.
British Heart Foundation says more analysis is needed to understand what is driving the trend. We certainly agree.
Well, good luck getting that analysis that's expensive and doesn't lead to profit.
We need to work out what is causing this so we can take away the causes. Some causes are known. Diabetes, for example. Hypertension, for example. But we do a not too bad a job of managing those. And I'm not sure the management of those is too much worse than it was. It's never caused where we'd like it to be. So what other factor or factors are at play here? Let me know what you think.
So Dr. John there navigating those complex YouTube guidelines. Let me know what you think.
Why would governments not want to get to the bottom of this? Why aren't universities being given emergency grants to investigate this? Because we've got the pathologists, we've got the medical researchers, we've got the statisticians. But we might as well not have. Because they're not being adequately commissioned to do this work.
So there you go. That's Dr. John breaking down the extraordinary epidemic of heart disease deaths. surely this warrants some analysis. Some people might think Dr. John's a YouTube conspiracy theorist and peddler of mad notions. I think he's a brilliant, sincere and authentic man. But the British Heart Foundation surely can be relied on when it comes to deaths from heart disease. Let's see what they're saying. The number of people dying before the age of 75 in England from heart and circulatory diseases has risen to the highest level in over a decade, according to our new analysis. Latest figures show that in 2022, over 39,000 people in England died prematurely of cardiovascular conditions, including heart attacks, coronary heart disease, and stroke, an average of 750 people each week. This is the highest annual total since 2008. This is the first time there's been a clear reversal in the trend for almost 60 years. Since 2020, the premature death rate for cardiovascular disease has risen year on year, and latest figures for 2022 show that it reached 80 in 100,000 in England in 2022, the highest rate since 2011. Dr. Sonia Babu-Narayan, our associate medical director and consultant cardiologist, said, "We're in the grip of the worst heart care crisis in living memory." So that person, Dr. Sonia Babu-Narayan, is just a heart specialist. Probably isn't particularly interested in or excited by globalism or authoritarianism or Davos or Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates' agenda or any of the rather esoteric peripheral subjects that intrigue you and I. Nevertheless, her conclusion is we're in the grip of the worst heart care crisis in living memory. What's causing it? It's additionally unhelpful that many of the politicians and pharmaceutical companies involved in the manufacture of vaccines during the period that coincides with this increase of heart death spend money in unusual ways, like surveillance and censorship of prominent voices like me, Jay Bhattacharya, Michael Schellenberger, and Megyn Kelly. Let's have a look at what she's got to say and why she was censored by Moderna. Why would Moderna be so interested in censorship? After all, surely they've got a fan in Rishi Sunak, the British Prime Minister, who was a founding partner in a hedge fund that invested up to $500 million in Moderna. You'd think they've got friends in high places and nothing to worry about. Jonathan Van Tam, who worked for the government, now works for Moderna. You'd think everything was rosy. Numerous FDA employees that were at the Food and Drug Administration assessing the efficacy and safety of vaccines now work at Moderna. Why have Moderna got anything to worry about at all? Let me know in the comments in the chat.
Thanks to Li Fang, who did an investigation, and he has revealed that Moderna was very, very upset, among other things, about the fact that I said on this show that after I had gotten my third COVID shot, my booster, which you needed in order to operate in New York to do anything, I developed a positive on an autoimmune test that my general practitioner gave me. And then I had to go to a rheumatologist and all this stuff. I revealed it on the show. And I got targeted by Moderna, who was very worried that this would add to the growing concern around autoimmune disorders following COVID-19 vaccinations.
What do you think about the number of celebrities that were taking vaccines on the television and recommending and endorsing and the literal songs and dances that promote that vaccine? Why can a prominent personality not report their personal experience of taking a booster shot? Is something unusual going on?
They're admitting internally that it's a problem, but they're upset that I am talking about it, and Alex Berenson and Russell Brand and Michael Schellenberger and Dr. Jay Bhattacharya are talking about it, Glenn, because they don't want it discussed, and the mainstream media outlets were only too happy to comply.
This is British Parliament. Hang on to your hats because it might look old-fashioned to you, but this is what democracy looks like in the United Kingdom. Andrew Bridge, an MP, who's coming on the show to talk about such matters, asked initially about a very prominent scandal in this country where post office workers were falsely accused of financial impropriety that was the result of a software glitch and then became a cause célèbre in our country because it was on the television and politicians really pretended to care about it, even though it happened ages ago. They waited till it was a television program before they got into it. It's extraordinary, really. He wondered if Tony Blair, who was the Prime Minister at the time that that scandal happened, would have anything in common with Rishi Sunak, who's been Prime Minister during a time when there have been other large corporations that have perhaps exercised undue control over the judicial, communicative, media, and health policies of the United Kingdom. Have a look.
Andrew Bridgen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. More than two decades ago, the then Prime Minister...
Oh, shut up, Andrew Bridgen, asking questions, trying to debate things. Why can't we all in Parliament just agree that we're going to do what's best for globalism and the corporate state? Yeah, cheers.
Tony Blair misled this House by promoting and endorsing the Post Office Horizon IT system as perfect, protecting the large corporation that created it and causing untold harm and damage and misery to innocent people.
protecting a globalist corporation. Tony Blair has got a lot of previous for that. Tony Blair right now, his foundation at least, has accepted $100 million from an organization that are interested in health data. Guess what Tony Blair's recommending we all hand over to big corporations? Yeah, it is health data, actually, yeah.
Can the current Prime Minister think of anything he has promoted in partnership with huge businesses as safe and effective, which has ultimately harmed the British people? And will he use this opportunity to correct that safe and effective statement, or will he choose the same line as Tony Blair, sit back, do nothing, and let the misery just continue to pile up?
No, you should. This isn't what British politics is about. That's not cricket. Come on, don't ask difficult questions.
Just before our Prime Minister, unbelievable, answers, have a listen to this. In November 2020, then-Chancellor Rishi Sunak refused to disclose whether he would profit from a surge in the share price of the COVID-19 vaccine manufacturer Moderna, one of the biggest investments held by the hedge fund he co-founded before entering Parliament. Sunak was a founding partner of Thaleem Partners, a major investor in Moderna and one of the executives managing its US office. He left the firm in 2013, returning to the UK to pursue his political career. What a mad trajectory and departure that was. I've been invested in Moderna, enough of that. Now to run Britain, which will have no connections to Moderna. Hello? Is that Moderna? It's not known whether the Chancellor retained any investment in the Thaleem Fund after leaving. So the Thaleem is registered in the Cayman Islands. That's always good news. A tax haven. And why not? Because, you know, turns out they don't like paying tax either. But when they don't pay tax, it's no problem. Which does not make company records public. Because if you saw those public records, you'd be so excited, you'd become so ecstatic. Those tax records were a surprise for your birthday and you spoiled it. You're just like Pfizer. You can do it yourself at this point. Ordinarily, a partner in a hedge fund would own a stake in the management company and have money invested in its funds. Stock market filings show that Thaleem has a $500 million investment in the US-based Moderna, which accounts for around 20% of all the money it manages, about $2.5 billion. Shortly after the news of Moderna's successful trial broke, the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, revealed that the government had secured an advance order for 5 million doses of the vaccine. But I don't imagine there's anything going on behind the scenes. All these people that know each other and used to work with each other and have all of these connections, I suppose they just put them aside. Well, but we can easily find out because we can just look at their WhatsApp messages. Oh no, all of Rishi Sunak's WhatsApp messages have all just disappeared. Good old democracy, good old transparency, good old legacy media for investigating it and offering us a wide variety of options. Ludicrous.
Prime Minister.
Oh, Mr. Speaker, as we've been clear, the Horizon scandal is a terrible...
It was bad. Now that it's been on television and there seem to be votes in it, am I right, are they voting it good? Then it's bad. In fact, someone was awarded the CBE, that's one of those things you get from the Queen, subsequent to us all knowing about it. Never mind that we gave loads of contracts to that organisation post knowing about it. Don't worry that we didn't do anything about it till we knew it was a TV show and that there's no morality and no authenticity in Parliament and you can't trust a single word I'm saying because I actually literally was an investor in Moderna. That doesn't diminish anything I'm saying, does it? Does it?
Miscarriage of justice and we're doing everything that we can to make it right. To what he was more broadly insinuating, let me be unequivocal from this dispatch box that COVID vaccines are safe.
They have dropped the word effective though, haven't they? So we're chiseling away. Vaccines are safe. So what you're saying is it won't do you any harm. That's as much as he's willing to say in Parliament. And he's a person that potentially heavily profited from it and certainly literally did invest in it. Effective, that word's been sidelined. We'll have to wait till the COVID inquiry resumes sometime in the distant future between now and when you'll get an opportunity to vote for another globalist who broadly supports the same agenda. There might be tiny little differences here or there. I disagree with that a bit and that a bit, but when it comes to should we have a full-scale investigation into why heart disease is climbing rapidly, should we look at these adverse events and excess deaths and the effects and impact on education and the ability of globalist interest to govern our country and whether or not we should be signing up to this WHO treaty and whether or not ordinary working people in the United Kingdom and across the globe are truly, properly, correctly represented and aren't just being corralled, curtailed, controlled by globalism and its agenda. None of these conversations or questions are going to be asked by anybody except you and me. And these are precisely the questions that need to be asked, not just in the UK or the USA or Canada or Japan or Senegal or Finland, but by all of us everywhere, all of the time, until there are some answers. But that's just what I think. Why don't you let me know what you think in the comments in the chat? Remember, we stream every day and we make content exclusively for our supporters. Join us. Become part of our movement. Join the resistance. More important than any of that, if you can, please stay free.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you want to see more uncensored content where free speech can flourish, join our live stream. Click the link right here to watch the next video if you want to, or become a member of a growing movement. Download the Rumble app and you'll be informed every time we make a new piece of content. Stay free.
All right, so that was Russell Brand. I have one more clip tonight, unless you have anything else, Leslie.
No. I really don't.
All right, so we're going to end the show because after this clip is 32 minutes. So after this clip, I'm done.
Okay, that sounds good.
So I'm going to play this clip. I'm going to sit here and watch it, and then the show will end after. So it was a pleasure having you here today. I hope you get to come back again and again.
Me too. It's good connecting with you on, you know, on a personal level on the phone, and it's always good to connect on the podcast.
I was able to finally get that Hank Williams clip out of the way.
I know. It was time. Oh my goodness. It's definitely a year overdue.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and watch this. Benny Johnson. Today was, if you don't know who Fannie Willis is, this was the district attorney in Atlanta that's trying to sue Trump and arrest Trump for questioning the ballot results in 2020's election. And even though Dominion was found to have errors in the state of Georgia, they're pretending that doesn't exist. Even though Ruby Freeman was on camera stuffing the ballots 3 and 4 times into a machine to get counted while they pretended to have a plumbing leak and kicked everybody else out except them, because Trump questioned the election, that he has to get arrested. And they're trying to get like 700 years out of him. I'm not even kidding about the number. So as it turns out, Fannie Willis did some illegal stuff, including paying a certain somebody and cheating on him or with him, as in having a relationship that is outside of both of their marriages. So everything's all coming out now, and well, we'll see what happens. So if I don't get to say hi to you after, please support the other shows on the network. I will be back Monday. Until then, hold on to the hand. Oh, wow. All right. Hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I am Oot.
Guys, it's a nightmare. It's a disaster. I don't know how else to quantify this. We have so many clips to play for you. It's hard to know where to begin. Let's start here. Let's start with one other expert, because we like bringing on experts on this program. We like bringing on experts on this show. Let's start with the expert legal professional at super right-wing conspiracy theory outlet, MSNBC. Ladies and gentlemen, MSNBC said that this case is dead. How bad does it have to be? How bad did today have to get for MSNBC to straight up say this case is dead? Ladies and gentlemen, this is probably the best that it gets, actually. It actually gets worse after this clip. So the legal expert paid for on MSNBC is sitting there telling their audience that we're finished. This case is finished. And it gets worse from here. Watch.
It's so legalistic centric and yet so important and fascinating.
Right. Don't let the legalese fool you. This is epic. This is monumental. If things are going in the direction we think, Fannie Willis lied to the court, it's game over for her. She will be disqualified. If they had a relationship prior to when they represented to the court, it's a huge deal. I can't overstate it.
And do you feel
so they're going to be disqualified? MSNBC said. Like, can you imagine? Like, what world do we have to? Like, what world are we in? What timeline are we in right now? Or MSNBC is like, no, they're going to be disqualified. Nathan Wade on the stand, like sweating profusely, like big long pauses, but most importantly, lying. They're both lawyers. They're lying to the court. That's been established. Again, we only use the MSNBC clip for shits and giggles. We're like, well, this like makes us laugh so much that MSNBC is having to play clips like this. Here's MSNBC straight up admitting that the reason why they need to be disbarred is because credible witnesses are being called to come forward and to say, you all are liars. Check it out.
When did your romantic relationship with Ms. Willis begin?
2022.
When in 2022?
Early 2022.
So you were appointed in November of 2021?
Yes, ma'am.
And your relationship started early. What's early? January? February?
Around March.
Ladies and gentlemen, they've lied. They've lied about their relationship because their friend, the friend, said, no, 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 this relationship started in 2019. Here is the first witness of the day.
What personal and romantic is later? When I ask you personal, do you take that to mean romantic?
Yes.
And do you understand it that their relationship began in 2019 and continued until the last time you spoke with her?
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay. So these aren't great. These aren't great ways to start your case. Like, to have two sworn affidavits where you've clearly lied. Here's the TechnoFog tweet. Let's pop that one up. You can see here in their own words, right? You can see there in their own words how they are lying in their sworn statements about their relationship. And the two of them acted like liars. That's what's amazing. Like, the two of them acted like liars. Ladies and gentlemen, during one line of questioning, I think this is about a log cabin, Nathan Wade, lover boy, who typically takes the form of a hot dog, Nathan's hot dog, actually turned into his own log cabin, meaning he turned into a literal block of wood. And he went like this, staring off in the middle distance. I'm a married man. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. Happily married in 7 years. Let me make something very clear. If my wife comes home and asks me a direct question, maybe about something controversial, and my answer to her is to begin to sweat, pour sweat profusely, stare off in the middle distance, and to go like this. Like, it's not good. Where's my Kleenex box? This is not a great look for you husbands. Like, that's bad. It's very, very bad. And this is exactly what Nathan Wade did on, like, a question like, did you ever go to a cabin? What?
Did you go to a cabin with Miss Willis ever?
Ever.
Ever.
No.
You've never gone to a cabin with
me? No.
So this is all a game to them for money laundering. So here's how money laundering works. You get cash from the state and from your office. You take that cash, direct deposit in your bank account. You cash it out to bricks of cash, and then you pay Loverboy. In cash. Here's the, okay, that's pretty good. That's the Loverboy sweating meme. Yeah. We have a lot of good memes. We'll pop them up. So they exposed how that's what they would do. Fannie Willis kept talking about, I don't lay my head down without bag of cash next to it. What does that mean? I don't lay my, wherever I lay my head, she says, as though she like sleeps in the street or under a bridge or something. I have a bag of cash next to my head. Well, what's that cash for? Nathan Wade explains.
Oh, I need it.
You said in the affidavit that you roughly shared travel, though, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So this roughly sharing travel, you're saying she reimbursed you?
She did.
And where did you deposit the money she reimbursed you?
Oh, cash. She didn't give me any checks.
So she paid you cash for her share of all these vacations?
Mr. Schaefer, you'll step out if you do that again.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so all of the vacations that she took, she paid you cash for?
Yes, ma'am.
And you purchased all of these vacations on your business credit card, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you included those in deductions on your taxes, correct?
No, ma'am.
No, you did not.
Oh, okay. Got it. So that's money laundering. Like, talk to anyone in the IRS. Do your own taxes. Like, you need to have a record of these things. You're allowed to pay people in cash, but you need to keep records. They didn't keep records. She was just funneling cash from the state to Loverboy. Loverboy was then taking that cash, like a gigolo payment, and then billing the state for 24 hours of work overnight. Man, Loverboy, the hardest worker the state of Georgia's ever known. No, baby. We got the receipts. Check it out. We got the receipts, baby. The guy just got divorced, okay? And his wife gave his credit card statements to the world. Thanks. Thank you. And dude was paying for airfare, tickets, trips. Got it all in black and white. And so what was interesting about this is as Loverboy and as Big Fanny took to the stands, which was unbelievable. We'll get to Big Fanny here in just a moment. The two of them, I got a buddy who's a prosecutor, and he always talks about, like, the value of witnesses, and that what he does for his teams is he goes and he interviews people, and he sees who would come off as a credible witness. People who aren't going to sweat. People who aren't going to freak out. People who aren't going to melt down. People who aren't going to scream and yell, throw stuff, have aneurysms on the stand. Nathan Wade and Big Fanny just did all of those things. And this is the funniest thing. They started turning on each other. The two of them, like, this is amazing. I need to, like, work this out in my own head. The two of them started, like, angrily going at each other in their own testimony. Well, that's not good. In the company of thieves, do you know what I mean? Right? Yeah. Check this out. So here's Loverboy, Nathan's hot dog. He's saying that Big Fanny is perfectly happy to throw her weight around and to carry her own weight. Don't worry. There's a countervailing joke that Big Fanny told about him. Watch.
If you've ever spent any time with Miss Willis, you understand that she's a very independent, proud woman.
I'd object.
So she's going to...
overall, Mr. Wade.
So she's going to insist that she carries her own weight. And it actually was a point of contention between the two of us. She is going to pay her own way.
So... we tweeted that. He said it many, many times, that Big Fanny likes to carry her own weight. And we actually had a Georgia member of Congress that tweeted at us. His name's Mike Collins. And the Georgia member of Congress saying, that's a heavy lift. We're just quoting the member of Congress. He's a member of our government, okay? It's just what it's going to be. We got the clip for you right here. Oh, that's a heavy burden, says this Georgia congressman. This is the value that this show provides to us and all of us. Here we go. Congressman Mike Collins. Nathan Wade, Fannie Willis is very independent. She carries her own weight. Rep Mike Collins, that's a heavy burden. What can I say, ladies and gentlemen? The two of them are going at each other. Fannie Willis, in fact, went after Nathan Wade based on what he thinks about women. This is not good. Ladies and gentlemen, Fannie Willis said that Nathan Wade only thinks that women are around to make him a sandwich. We kid you not.
And did the forthcoming indictment have anything to do with that? Ooh. Or was it just a coincidence?
Mister, let's go on and have a conversation.
I'm just asking you whether or not it was a coincidence.
Had absolutely nothing to do with this. It's interesting that we're here about this money. Mr. Wade is used to women that, as he told me one time, the only thing a woman can do for him is make him a sandwich. we would have brutal arguments about the fact that I am your equal. I don't need anything from a man. A man is not a plan. A man is a companion. And so there was tension always in our relationship, which is why I would give him his money back. I don't need anybody to foot my bills. The only man who's ever foot my bills completely is my daddy.
Is there anything else you would like to add to that?
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. So Nathan Wade's being like, Fanny can't hold her own weight. And she's going like, Nathan Wade wants me to make him a sandwich. What world did we just watch? Like, what did we just see? This is better than Jerry Springer. This is better than daytime smut TV. I cannot believe this. I've seen, like, Judge Joe Brown, like, ruling on some type of, like, marital dispute in public housing between, like, two rival gangs. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. And the two were acting like they hated each other. Speaking of rivals, I mean, geez, how are you going to get out of this? I'm going to start from the top here because it's very important to go through, like, the meltdown for Big Fanny. But you can't get past the fact that she's saying she's not going to emasculate a black man. Listen, the context here is something about like Nathan Wade's sexual performance. That's the subcontext because she kept talking about that. The both of them kept talking about sex like quite gratuitously, even when the petitioners weren't trying to talk about that. It was top of mind. Okay, whatever. That's just human psychology. But and there's more important things to get to here, but I just can't help but notice that the two of them hate each other. Like, the two of them clearly don't like each other. And because they were just completely talking each other on the stand. It's that's a good meme. It's so embarrassing, actually. Here she is talking about, I guess, his sexual performance. I don't want to have to talk about it. She's the one bringing it up. Listen to her emasculate a black man. There you go.
Last area, briefly.
Yes, sir.
You had contact with Mr. Wade in the year 2020, correct?
Ooh, I had some contact with Mr. Wade.
Would you explain when you say some contact? Please tell us, talking about 2020.
I had some contact with Mr. Wade in 2020. One of the reasons your allegations are so preposterous or mismerchants that you have joined is...
Ask you about the allegations. I asked you about your contact. That's all I ask you, okay? I appreciate that you want to say something. But I'm interested in, did you have contacts with Mr. Wade in 2020? And your answer so far has been yes, correct?
Very limited contact because Mr. Wade had a form of cancer. It makes your allegations somewhat ridiculous.
I do appreciate the characterization.
I'm not going to emasculate a black man, but I'm just telling you.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm not going to emasculate a black man. Did you understand that?
All right,
so I don't think we should discuss
track.
Further.
Mr. Sadow, next question.
What? I mean, literally, what trash, okay? Like, trash. This is like the daytime... the judge that you would watch in small claims court, the fake judges, Judge Judy or whatever show, right? Like, you've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like this. Such a meltdown. Okay, so I wanted to get into the sort of the intersection of her and Nathan Wade talking smack on each other and, like, making jokes about each other and clearly hurting each other's cases, okay? They're, like, torpedoing each other here. But let's start from the top. Fannie Willis was trying not to testify. Her lawyers were sitting there being like, yo, like, she doesn't need to take the stand. They were trying to fight to make sure that she didn't get to take the stand. She's so important. She's so valuable. And then in comes Fannie Willis. I've never seen it. She's like appears. Earlier, we were ready to end our live stream. And then lo and behold, in comes Big Fanny right there in front of me, right there on the screen. And so we were like, whoa, what's going on here? She sits down,
She waives her privilege, is what they call it, and she goes, I'm going to testify. And her lawyers are like, where are the painkillers? Get me the painkillers. Like, they're like, their hands are sweaty. They're reaching for their bottles of Xanax, and their inhalers. Fannie Willis sits down. And the first thing Fannie Willis does is say, I'm not a hostile witness, and then starts screaming at the lawyers. Oh, and it gets worse. Watch.
Point where Ms. Willis should be treated
hostile.
I think
I very much want to be here, so I'm not a hostile witness. I very much want to be here.
Not so much that you're hostile, Ms. Willis, it'd be an adverse witness. Your interests are opposed to Ms. Merchant's.
Thank you. Merchant's interests are contrary to democracy, Your Honor, not to mine.
All right.
Ooh, so this is going to be a trend where Fannie Willis, like, sort of shows her cards. And remember, Fannie Willis has been presented to us. It was really funny. She's been presented to us as this ponderous scholar, this deeply big-hearted, honest, and decent person who is simply trying to pursue the end results of justice, right? That's how she's been presented. But she just destroys her whole case here. A lot of the other stuff is like funny antics, and it'll make for like really great and really interesting jokes and memes and stuff like that, her freaking out. I'm going to play you a clip of her freaking out, all right, in a second. But what I want you to watch for is Fannie Willis ripping the bark off of this idea that she's not a biased prosecutor. Because, like, for instance, there in that last clip, she, like, starts spitting venom at the lawyers. She starts talking smack about them in court. And she starts, like, revealing what she actually, like, thinks about Donald Trump, which is such a no-no in a case like this, which is such grounds for disqualification because you're biasing yourself, your jury, and your entire grand jury process, to be quite honest. And I got the banger of a clip to play for you in just a moment. But first off, let's check in on Fannie Willis's mental state, shall we? Let's watch her start throwing papers around the courtroom like a deranged lunatic. Go.
He initially paid for that. For Aruba, yes, ma'am. So let's talk about both of those. I know he initially paid for it. Did you pay him back? For the cruise and for Aruba, yeah, I gave him his money before we ever went on that trip. You gave him cash before you ever went on the trip?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when you got cash to pay him back on these trips, would you go to the ATM?
No, lady.
You would not go to the ATM?
No.
No, lady. No, lady is how she is addressing the lawyer. Now, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I promised you a clip where Fannie would be taking her papers and throwing them around. Well, I would never lie to you. Here we go. Here. What if I did the show, and I'm sitting here, and I'm throwing papers around, and I'm yelling and screaming? Well, it might be an entertaining show, but this is a streaming show. We're supposed to be entertaining. She's in a court of law. And here's a clip of Fannie Willis taking a stack of papers and literally throwing them and screaming at the judge, so much so that the judge has to tell her to shut the f*** up and put her in time out. I cannot believe that this is a real clip. Go.
And where, when did he come to, I guess, the condo? I'm not sure what you called it, condo apartment. Would he come and stay at that condo or visit you there? I'm sorry, visit you there.
What condo, what apartment? I want to be clear.
So not your house. I know you classified one as house and one as condo, so I'm trying to use those terms.
There's been more than, see, what you don't understand is because of this case, I got to move. And so I
Merchant, if you could ask a more precise question.
Yes, please, give me the time period.
Mr. Wade visits you at the place you laid your head.
When?
Has he ever visited you at the place you laid your head?
So let's be clear, because you lied in this, let me tell you which one you lied in, right here. I think you lied right here.
No.
This is the truth,
Judge.
It is a lie.
Ms. Willis, Mr. Stainout, thank you. We're going to take 5 minutes. Be back in five.
Hey, it's a lie! Do you think, like, do I look like a sane person to you? Do I look like the okay, not even a sane person to you, all right? Because, dude, we're like, this is supposed to be entertaining, all right?
Ow!
whatever, right? We have fun on this show. But does this look like the – okay, so the, if I was doing it, it would be a little bit nuts because I'm a streamer. I'm a little bit nuts. But Fannie Willis is doing it. Oh, no, you got to put up screaming Fannie Willis one more time. Fannie Willis is doing it, and she's supposed to be trying the most important case in America, in world history. She is trying a president for trying to steal an election. She's putting up Donald Trump for trial for like 400 years. I don't know the exact year amount, but it's like hundreds of years. Donald Trump goes to trial. Fannie Willis, the person who actually got a mugshot of a president. We have it hanging in the studio. She brought us the Trump mugshot, which we thank you for, Fannie. Greatest Christmas present ever. Is this going to be the next mugshot that Fannie Willis gets the pleasure of taking? We'll see. Because Fannie Willis is starting to, after this point, have a meltdown. The judge put her in timeout and then is like, okay, come back. You've been in timeout, little girl. Come back and sit down and like ask, answer some questions about your money laundering. And how do I tell you this? It didn't go great. Watch.
Okay. So, but you were saying that you had amounts of cash. You still had that lien in 2022 when you were dating Wade and going on these trips. So the cash that you gave him, that could have been used to pay the tax lien off?
You going to tell me how to pay my bills?
I object. This is not relevant as it relates to barbecue today.
Oh, man, the body language. I would love to have a body language expert on the show. We actually had on an incredible YouTuber named Tasha K. We'll play a clip of that. She's hysterical, like a comedian, and man, did she go in hard on Big Fanny. Not like Nathan Wade's hot dog. Different, but still painful. Ladies and gentlemen, Fannie Willis continued to have, like, absolutely unhinged meltdowns. It got bad. Fannie Willis, unable to tell the court how many thousands of dollars, how many G's she paid Nathan Wade.
Oh, yeah. And she's in charge. She's a top law enforcement prosecutor. She's in charge, okay?
Don't know how many G's I paid the man who I'm having an affair with, destroying his family, also hiring him and funneling money to him. Watch.
And then he tells me how much it is, and I give him the money back. I don't, just like you're asking me about the money with Robin, I don't do my friends like that. So if you tell me it's a G, then you're going to get $1,000. Whatever it is, I didn't ever make him produce receipts to me. Whatever he told me it was, I gave him his money back.
He gave me a G. I gave him a G. You're a G. I'm a G. We all G's. Jesus, please help us. Jesus, take the wheel. Because things get worse. Okay? Things get worse. I'm sitting there. It's the one time that I wish that we had popcorn in the studio. Rolls Royce. It's the one time I wish we had popcorn in the studio. It's Rolls Royce's birthday today, actually. We brought him cupcakes. Because this is the moment when the case got destroyed. This is the moment that where it finally was finished. This is the moment where it was all ended, where there was no more case. Ladies and gentlemen, this will go down as the history, in history, as the poppingest of popcorn times in any trial ever. When Fannie Willis straight up admits that she's just here to try and put people in jail for stealing an election, which is, of course, like, from a prosecutorial standpoint, not the thing you're supposed to say. Because you're supposed to say, like, we're going to find facts, and we're going to let the facts lead us to where the case goes, and we think there's an assertion of this crime that was committed, and so on and so forth. You've heard lawyers speak. This is not the way judicious or juris prosecutors are supposed to speak. This is the way that somebody speaks who has a hell-bent sociopathic political bias. Watch the official breakdown, meltdown of Fannie Willis.
So your office objected to us getting Delta records for flights that you may have taken with Mr. Wade.
Well, no, look. I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives. You're confused. You think I'm on trial. These people are on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020. I'm not on trial, no matter how hard you try to put me on trial. So.
These people on trial for trying to steal an election. There's your disqualification. That's all you need, ladies and gentlemen. And the judge wasn't having any of it. Now, the judge has already, and this is really important, The judge has already said we're planning on disqualifying you. The reason why that's important is because the legal experts that I've spoken to are straight up telling me judges don't say things like that unless they've already seen the evidence that will point them in the direction of disqualification. So the judge began this trial by saying, we're looking into disqualification. That is a big, big D to drop on the court. That is a big bombshell. Not good. If the judge is saying it, then that means he's already looked through the evidence and he's ready to disqualify. So what Fannie Willis is doing is not great already. Even if she showed up on the testimony stand and she was an angel, even if she didn't testify, the judge has already said, I plan on disqualifying you. But it gets worse, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, here the judge smacks Big Fannie, spanks Big Fannie very hard. So hard there's a sound wave. Says, you are behaving in such a repulsive and putrid manner in my courtroom. I am going to kill your testimony. I'm going to strike your testimony from the record. I'm not going to allow you to testify in your behalf. Meaning, it's probably be better for Fannie Willis, to be quite honest. I'm not going to take anything you've said and use it in your defense. You're done here. This is savagery, okay? This is like getting on the judge's last nerve, and it shows you where the judge's head already is. Watch.
That's before I had to abandon my home, Judge.
All right.
And at my home in South Fulton, he never came there, okay? So if you don't come someplace, you can't live there.
Ms. Willis, I'm going to have to caution you. That's going to be my first time out to caution you. We have to listen to the questions as asked. And if this happens again and again, I'm going to have no choice but to strike your testimony. So I need to break this down. Ms. Merchant's question, I believe, was asking whether you lived anywhere other than South Fulton.
I'm going to have to strike your testimony. Meh. Okay, so in summary here, ladies and gentlemen, the memes are flowing. They're wonderful. We look forward to doing a full meme review. But what we do have, that's pretty. What else we got? What else we got, Rolls Royce? Okay, that's fine. Do we have the "this is fine" meme? That's pretty good. Okay, Donald Trump as the cat. That's pretty good. This is a great one because the next clip is about a restaurant. Big Fannie is asked how many times Nathan Wade slept over, how many times she took Nathan Wade out to dinner. And apparently Big Fannie, I don't know if this was a sexual reference or not, I'm just going to take her at her word, okay? She says that her and Nathan Wade, they were grinding together. What do you want? Am I allowed to just quote her? You decide. Watch.
Did you go out to eat with him?
Maybe. Probably.
Did you visit him in any location, his office, or did he visit you in your office in 2020?
I am sure that's a very good question. I'm sure he came to 750 in 2020.
750
was my office.
Okay.
Not often, but maybe once or twice. Maybe I went to his office once or twice, but maybe once.
And the purpose for going to his office would have been what?
Maybe we would have went to Mellow Mushrooms for pizza, or maybe he would have come for lunch. I'm sure we went by each other's office, though, but not often, not a lot. We're both grinding, trying to make a living.
We're both grinding? Don't you know anything, Judge? We are grinding, and I pay him a G. And also, in such a crazy and peculiar way, I don't like him. He demeans me as a woman. He thinks that all women need to make him a sandwich. It's her words, not mine. She's talking about Loverboy. Loverboy saying Fannie can't carry her own weight. Jeez, man. Don't say that to your wife on Valentine's Day. Loverboy having a long pause, being incapable of actually answering questions. Fannie Willis literally having apoplectic meltdowns on the stand. And it's looking bad. Okay? It's looking very bad.